from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Back to these Yankee calls. Yankees are an unmitigated, undisciplined mess. 888-808-1019. But I don't want to be overly negative here. So I can't do 4 hours of negativity. Huh. So I've got two ways to phrase this question and frame it as I throw this to Sal. Something about the Mets. I can do it the negative way, or I can do it the positive way. The negative way, I think it would be if I said, why in the world is Pete Alonso an all-star? I don't want to do that. I think the positive way, at least the positive connotation, is how in the world is Lindor not an all-star?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. First of all, take these things the way you will. Like, they're worthless anyway. I know for the players it means something, but ultimately, it is worthless. The people who vote on him, I don't care if it's players, I don't care if it's the fans, it's ridiculous. As Nimmo said, he continues to lose a popularity contest. Now, what I will say is Francisco Lindor has nobody to blame but himself, because it's the third straight year that he's been snubbed from the All-Star game. Not coincidentally, the third straight year, he started his season mid-May. Like, you actually got to start the season when it begins in April if you want to be an All-Star. Now, that being said, how could you argue that he hasn't been the Mets' best player? Like, in this particular year, and in years past, you could say, well, Lindor got snubbed, he got screwed, whatever. But really, there was no leg to stand on because he wasn't the Mets' best player. This year, clearly, he has been their best player by a long shot. Right? Defensively, offensively, impactful, every
which way. I think Alvarez has been the most important to the season. But I hear what you're saying.
But he's not an all-star because he hasn't been.
I got you.
Yeah. And you and I went over this list. So I went over last week multiple times. Like, if I were to ask you the most impactful player on the Mets in their season's turnaround,
he was about fifth. We had Nimmo. We had Alvarez. We had
Lindor,
J.D. Martinez.
Vientos.
Obviously, Lindor, Vientos. Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Yeah. So Pete's down the list. Yet Pete Alonso is the all-star. There's no way in hell Pete Alonso is having an all-star season. I'm not trying to take something away from him. Like, he loves it. Good for him. Go participate in the home run derby. Good for you. He's not an all-star. I've watched baseball my entire life. I can tell you the difference between an all-star season and a non-all-star season. There's no way Pete Alonso is having an all-star season. And there's no way, if you're going to pick one Met, that Alonso should go over Francisco Lindor. I just don't get it. Other than the fact that baseball probably wanted Alonso to participate in the home run derby.
God, and Lindor, with the stupid thing.
Yeah, okay.
The home run derby.
But what does that mean? So that means if you hit home runs and you want to participate in the derby, you're more of an all-star than Lindor? There's no way. Lindor's a better player. He's always been. He's had better seasons than Alonso. And this year, he's been more impactful and better all around. He should be an all-star, not Pete Alonso. I'm sorry.
It was a good win. What about the Diaz stuff late? Obviously, he came back in for the last inning. Mets got the Chapman. Lindor, the big knock. Couple of good at-bats to set that up. Where do you think Diaz is right now?
I trade Diaz.
But who wants him? For the money.
Teams are. I know. I get it. And because teams are desperate for bullpen help, while he may be valuable, then the Mets are going to have to go fill that void anyway. I would trade Diaz. I've had it with him. I never loved him, obviously, since 2019. Now, he was terrific pre-WBC injury, but the sticky stuff bothered me. His inconsistency. I'm telling you, you watch him closely. And we had this conversation actually last week with CeeLo, and I was telling him that I'd rather have Diaz's brother. If you watch Diaz's brother with the Reds, It's consistent. The ball, the release, consistent. He knows where the baseball is going. He knows what he's trying to do. Is he as electric as Edwin at Edwin's best? No, but Diaz is all over the place. His arm angles, the release point. It's why he's so erratic. And paying a closer is not good practice anyway.
Yep.
I would, if I'm the Mets, I would look to, and he did it before. Stearns did it before with Hader. I'd look to trade Diaz if I could and replenish that bullpen elsewhere.
I got one more thing for you on the All-Star stuff. I want to get back to Lindor. I think it's interesting. Then we'll get back to the Yankee calls. Met fans jump in. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. So I agree that the rhyme and reason to All-Star selections, it's all over the map, right? But this is one thing that bothers me. Now, first a question. Do you think Lindor is a Hall of Famer?
Right now, no.
I agree with you, okay? So Lindor, who, if I, and I did it very loosely, project this out, might finish up with around 2,500 hits, a lot of pop from middle infielder, a lot of steals. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm critical, I mean, there's some benchmarks there that are pretty undeniable. Now, he's a four-time All-Star. Let's say in 10 years or whatever it is, we're really thumbing through the numbers and we're like, oh, man, Lindor, is he really a Hall of Famer? And he's kind of in the neighborhood. You're like, just four All-Star games. But if the number was six or seven, which it probably should be, don't you think that emboldens some, like it's just more juice?
Yes, and I actually feel badly for him. I did after last season, because you want to get snubbed the first time. Like his first year was bad. Then his second year here was good, but he got snubbed, slow start, whatever.
Yep.
Last year was, I thought, good and snubbed again. So now that's 2 years in a row. This year, same thing. 3 years in a row. But ultimately, BT, it's on him. He said it yesterday. I know he probably said it in some kind of like, not jest, but in some frustration, because he should be an All-Star, even with the slow start. But he said, I guess I got to play better in April. And yeah, the answer is yes, you do got to play better in April. Like at least some part of April. You can't have nothing in April, nothing early May, and then just turn it on to the levels that you do and that he has and expect to be an All-Star, because he's now gotten snubbed three straight years. Not one, not two, three straight years Lindor has deserved to be an All-Star if you look at the numbers and the way he performed, but yet he's gotten snubbed. But yeah, that's going to hurt him long term.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's on April Fool's Day, you go out, you have 3 for 4, you know, 6, 7 RBIs. Like
whatever.
The day that's supposed to represent the opposite, almost opposite day, you at least have a big day on April Fool's Day.
He's got to have a good week or something. I'm not saying have a dominant month, but the idea that they would choose Pete over him.
That's odd. That is very,
Pete?
Very odd.
How the hell is Alonso an All-Star this year?
Based I don't on know. What? I honestly don't know. I think he's been the fifth or sixth best Met.
Which just shows you that the All-Star stuff is total BS.
Yeah. I mean, I was really into it as a kid.
Yeah,
I still
me too.
Enjoy when they call the players out and they kind of doff the cap to the crowd. Like, I still enjoy the symbolism and the pomp and circumstance. My son's going to be into it, but yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason. And the sad thing is that the way these votings or these All-Star berths are garnered, it does adversely, and in some situations the exact opposite, you know, falsely elevate Hall of Fame candidacies and resumes, because you do look. What's the first thing you do? Let me go to Baseball Reference. Two Silver Slugs. Oh, 9-time All-Star. 7-time. Oh, only 2 All-Stars. Oh, only 5 top 5 MVPs or what? You know what I'm saying? Like, that is a database for those who want information.
And if you're just, again, hypothetical, but let's just say 20 years down the road, 15, 20 years down the road, some young Met fan, some 25-year-old, 20-year-old Met fan is looking up Pete Alonso in comparison to Lindor to see about their number being retired or where they rank in Mets history.
Good point.
Well, Pete was an All-Star, you know, 5 times or whatever it is. Lindor only, you know.
That's a good point. That's true. All right, let's get back to you guys. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Henry's up in the Bronx. What up, Henry?
Hey. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I'm not a big Cashman supporter. I've been wanting to get rid of Cashman since 2002. But I noticed after 2018, he switched salaries with Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi was fired, and the $5 million Joe Girardi was supposed to get, Cashman got a new contract. And then the new manager got the GM salary, the $1 million a year. Cashman does not know talent. He built his last team on analytics only. Did not look at didn't send scouts out for talent. If anything positive happens this season, is because the Yankees lose and Cashman is gone. This guy's had the most resources of anyone.
Yeah. Well, he's really done nothing. Yeah, that's undeniable.
But
Henry, that's a tough thing to latch on to now. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Like, think about what Henry just said. Think about what he just said after the start the Yankees had. The best thing that could happen to the Yankees this year is that they lose and people get fired. I mean, I can't latch on to that now in the middle of July.
No, especially not with the start that they had. Their record, if they were 500 right now, different story.
Well, I said that a couple of years ago. Yeah. My exact term was, I want the Yankees to bleed out.
That was last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, right.
So that, you know, it can signify the urgency for a radical change. And I was very, very, very bullish on Verdugo because they needed a left fielder. He was a lefty, got some juice, a little doubles power, home run, energy, kind of a loose wire. Same with Stroman. But this team is just absolutely sleepwalking. They are just not even into it. Dave's in Elmont. What up, Dave?
How you doing, BT? Okay. How you doing, Sal?
What's up, David?
I enjoy you guys' show. I'm a new listener. I just want to tell you guys that.
Thank you.
I will enjoy your show.
Nice.
BT, I know you're a Yankee fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. When we used to come to town, we used to be afraid of the Yankees, you know? Mm. Now, for the last couple of years, it kind of lose that intimidation factor. I kind of miss, like, that old rivalry where we went into, you know, Yankee Stadium where you guys come into Fenway.
Yeah.
And we feel like you guys are going to destroy us all the time, you know? Like, we had to play.
Yeah, I enjoyed those days too, Dave. Those were the good old days. Yeah, those were fun days.
Yeah. Now it feels like anybody can beat the Yankees. I don't know what's happening, but, you know, I want the old Yankees back. I want those battles back.
Be careful what you ask for, Dave. Be careful what you ask for, buddy. I mean, it's funny. I don't know if you're quite saying this. Thanks for the call, Dave, and appreciate you just jumping into our show. Thank you very much. That's awesome. But I've said for a while, like, the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry, what? I mean, ESPN could package this. Oh, here's Bucky Dent's home run, and here's Fisk and Lou Piniella throwing the, you know, haymakers in the dirt, and Greg Nettles ripping the pitcher's arm out of its socket, and Zimmer and Pedro and all the other things, Kerim Garcia. This Yankees, like, I honestly watch the Yankees and the Red Sox like I watch the Yankees and the Blue Jays.
What about Devers?
He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. He's great.
Shades of Big Poppy.
He is clutch. He's amazing.
The guy owns you. He owns the Yankees. Good God.
What did you think about, and again, I was watching Boone's presser last night, and he was asked repeatedly about pitching to him at a 0-0 game.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'm not walking him. Come on. This is not Babe Ruth, man.
It's not Aaron Judge either.
Yeah.
He pitched to him. I mean, didn't even look like it was a home run off the bat.
I know. I'll defend Boone with that. That is if you're afraid to pitch to somebody in a 0-0 game, with nobody on base, you're a loser.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. You got to attack him.
Especially the way Heel was dominating. Yeah. No, you go get him at that. I will say, though, the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry could be starting to get ratcheted back up a little bit. Just 4.5 games separate the two. Devers is on the Yanks.
Yep.
Red Sox really started this tailspin for the Yanks here.
They did with the 9 steals on Sunday night. It's a good point there, Sal. Now, the rivalry, and to be fair, and I mentioned some old names like Piniella and Carlton Fisk and Nettles. Yeah, that was just slightly before my time. But when I was in my wheelhouse as a kid, Yankees, Red Sox, really, I've said this to Sal, meant nothing. It really, all it meant was I got a chance to see Wade Boggs, who I always loved watching hit because he was just a surgical approach. Mm. Obviously, Mattingly's my guy. You know, I thought Mike Greenwell, just throwing some random names out there, was a good lefty, you know, when he was young. I liked him. I mean, I didn't like him but I liked his game. And it was it. It was a fairly innocuous dance. Yankees, Red Sox, big deal. Yankees Blue Jays back in the late 80s meant more to me than Yankees Red Sox for sure with Dave Steeb and those really good Toronto teams. That too is cyclical. It will go up and down, but don't tell me this rivalry is special right now. It's not even close.
Could be getting there though, especially if they catch him in the standings.
Sky. Joe's in Wappinger. I hear you. I guess everything's on the table today, Sal. Joe's up in Wappinger's Falls. Joe, what's cooking?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So I got to say, first, I'm in bizarro world today because I agree with both of you, and I actually agree with Sal even more, so I don't even know what to think to myself today. You know, it goes to Cashman, and not even so much for the player, because he's done a good job. We needed a big power guy near Judge. He went and got the best player in baseball. He got the biggest free agent pitcher a couple of years ago in Carlos Rodon. Who knew he'd fall apart? We didn't know that. But it's all the other stuff you're talking about, the Gleyber Torres, the lackadaisicalness. That's all institutional stuff. That's all. That's starting in the minors where they anoint these guys right at the beginning, where this is the next big guy, and these guys hear it, and no one talks them down from it. Glaber knew he was coming in as a big-time guy when he came over from the Cubs. You may see what Volpe now, God forbid. You know, these guys get in their head, they get the next big thing, and it's really tough to work that away. You know, BTU coach youth sports, it comes from home. If mom and dad are telling that kid how great he is, and you got him on your 12, 13-year-old team, that kid's got a big head already. Mom and daddy tell him how good he is. It's tough. You can sit him down all you want. You can't sit him down for a month. You're starting second base, and you can't sit him down for the whole season. You got to.
Well, Joe, think about this. Thanks for the call. He dropped out there. You are tapping into something that I think is very interesting here. It's the culture of the Yankees. Like, institutionally, what's embedded in the minds of the younger players as they elevate through the minors? Well, I mean, how many pit bulls have you seen that have just come up and, like, by the time they get here, they are a polished, aggressive, you know, like, just kind of a throwback play. Everybody's lazy. Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres. Mm. Now, I don't think Volpe's that way at all. I will defend Volpe. Honestly, I did not. I wouldn't go so far as say I didn't know the rule. But the other night, but when that happened, I wasn't thinking that if the run crossed, I got to take the L on that too. Number one, I thought it may have been foul, and he leaned on that. And DJ's got to see that in front of him, stop short, at least getting a, not that he's going to outrun anybody, let alone a middle infielder, but just, you know, give Volpe time to score. Mistakes were myriad in that moment, but I do not think that is a microcosm of what Volpe's going to become. I am not worried about Volpe's IQ or heart or passion or work ethic. He might not quite be as talented as maybe some thought, but I'm going to exonerate him. That was one mistake. It can't happen again. But I'm not going to crush him for that.
Did you think the Yankees should have fired Girardi when they did, or moved on from Girardi when they did?
I thought it was probably time. I was both. Like, I didn't vehemently protest it. Right. I'd be lying if I said I did.
Right.
I felt like it was probably time for a new voice. I thought the Boone hire was interesting/odd.
Right.
Meaning a little forward thinking, maybe.
Well, just the way the game is now.
Yeah. So, I was what about you?
Well, I was against it, but what happened in Philadelphia kind of, you know, minimized whatever feelings that I had. But the Yankees have not been as far with Boone as they were with Girardi, meaning that in 2017, his final year, Girardi's final year, they got to game 7 of the ALCS. They never made it back to that point. They've made it to some game 6s, but haven't made it to that game 7 or over the hump with Aaron Boone. This has been years now. I'm not saying I'd fire Boone, because I wouldn't. I'm not saying it's his fault, but I did say a few years ago that it was time to change. And if you do now, where do you go? With the game being the way that it is, are you bringing Girardi out of the booth? Are you bringing David Cohen out of the booth? Are you going with another player's guy? Oof. Like, there are, you know, I just don't see the...
At this point, I go with Paul O'Neill.
You know,
hey, Paul,
he's
go rip it up. Throw some stuff.
Yeah. I knew this was going to be an issue. My uncle was texting me last week, you know, big Yankee fan.
Of course.
Already, this was like Thursday or Friday, whatever it was last week. Boone's got to get fired, bro. Bring back Donnie. Hire Donnie. I mean,
it's funny. I was with some people over the weekend. Let's just say ex-Yankees.
Right. Well, you had a Yankee party?
It was a good party. Let's put it that way. Oh. Barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Big party. And Donnie's name came up.
I think I could guess. You have not told me who this party is, but I could probably guess.
Well, let's not guess on the air.
Yeah, no, we'll guess off the air. Okay, but, but Donnie's name came up.
Donnie's name came up as the next logical hire as the manager of the Yankees. Because they were asked, because they know how much I love Mattingly, my affinity for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, you know, I said, and at this point, I wasn't fully, like, it got worse from, you know, Friday night, Saturday, Saturday was good, but last night with the Yankees with Boone. But I was like, they're listless, they're sloppy. And I love Donnie. I said, but I almost don't even want him to become the manager because I don't want to have to do my job.
Right.
When
right.
things go awry. And invariably,
hey, Donnie,
someone's getting fired.
I loved you. Time to go. What'd you bring to this party? Like, you go to a party, you got to bring something.
Who did I bring?
Yeah, no, not who. What'd you bring? Like, I'm assuming you brought.
I didn't bring anything. They said they were very, very, very vehement not to. I know that. That's odd. I never come empty-handed.
Okay. I was trying to just gauge.
I know. There was, put it this way, there was probably, it was somebody's home.
Right.
There was probably a $25,000 fireworks display. At the end of it.
Oh, my God.
It was insane.
Legal, I hope?
Yeah, legal enough. Legal, definitely legal. Yeah, legal. It was legal. But
some knuckleheads where I live were shooting off mortars.
More? Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is
this? Don't tell me you were a grump in the new neighborhood.
No, come on. I don't mind. Well, I mean, I don't mind the fireworks. It's a nice firework, but then it's like it felt like my windows were going to break open.
Yeah.
But who's doing this?
So more like the firecrackers and not the fireworks.
Well, yeah. You saw a couple. There was only two of them, but they were, dude. House shakers. What are we doing here? We're adults.
Well, you want to laugh? So real quick. So Tuesday night, we were off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tuesday night, my son's one of his best friend. They were going to the beach for a couple of days. We're like, come on over. We'll do a barbecue.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not working Wednesday.
Right.
So the Modelo's are flowing.
Right.
I mean, your partner's having a good time.
Yeah.
A couple surf sides mixed in for the group.
There you go. The whole spiel.
Maybe some other stuff. Like, we're having a good time. And they bring over some fireworks. Yeah. And I'm like, that you get it, like, I don't want to say 7-Eleven, but they're nothing nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the little kids, you know, his daughter is five and my daughter's seven.
No,
beyond that.
Okay.
So it's like 11:30, quarter to 12. And again, your partner's feeling pretty good, so he's kind of losing track of time. And, dude, these things were so loud. I'm thinking they're just colorful. This is not even the 4th of July. It's like...
You were shooting them off?
Yeah, in my backyard.
Oh, my God.
I do it on New Year's Eve. I love fireworks. Oh. They were so loud, and they just reverberated like through the whole neighborhood. I'm like, how is anybody not waking up? I'm like, you know what? At this point, I really don't care.
Just,
I'm going to get the Modelo, whatever.
Just be careful. I don't want a JPP situation. You know, you're drinking.
I'm always fireworks. You know, I'm always.
All right.
I'm not a sloppy drunk.
All right.
I'm not.
Oh, but still, whether you're sloppy drunk or not, you'd be shooting off fireworks.
That's true.
You're that neighbor that'd be like, hey, this guy's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Shooting off fireworks.
I know. Not even
4th of July.
Nobody complained, thank God. 888-808-1019. No fireworks with the Yankees in terms of offense. Fireworks if you're not happy. And honestly, how in the world, no this, but it's a general and genuine question. Why is Pete an all-star? Why? Why is Pete Alonso an all-star? BT and Sal on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's a play, He is out! Oh, he is out! What a play by Derek Jeter!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A nice saying, and it 11:27 back on the Fan. BT and Sal back off the 4th and red hot about these Yankees who look absolutely broken. Get back to these calls here. 888-808-1019. First up, though, a little Monday matinee for the Metsies. The lineup at your request, sir. Lindor, Nimmo, Alvarez. I love Francisco in the 3 spot. I really do. Lindor, Nimmo, Alvarez. Pete in the number 4 spot. The lone Met All-Star. Vientos, 5. Torin, 6. Iglesias is number 7. McNeil, Bader, and then Christian Scott.
Out of that lineup, give me the who you think is the most impactful Met so far. Like, just pick them out.
I think it's Alvarez. I know the stats aren't there fully because he missed a ton of time. I think Alvarez has changed everything about the Mets.
Correct. I just want to hear impactful, and then let's see when
In an order or no order?
No order.
Okay, gotcha.
I just want to see when we get to Pete.
Gotcha. This is easy. So Alvarez is up there. Vientos is absolutely up there. Lindor is definitely up there. More recently, Nimmo is up there. I would say... I mean, geez, it's going to sound like I'm just picking on Pete. You want to go Iglesias?
Yes, I do. I was waiting for you to get to that.
Honestly.
1,000% he's been more impactful. How could you argue that he hasn't?
I'm not.
So outside of McNeil, I mean, I can even throw in Torrens, but we'll be fair here.
Bader's been pretty good.
Bader's been good all year long and clutch. Pete would be almost last on the list. It'd be McNeil last, and finally Jeff McNeil has woken up this year. It's nice to see him try to join the party here.
Try to trade him?
I would 1,000% trade him. Couldn't get him out of here fast enough. Yeah, yeah. So, like, of the lineup, Alonso and McNeil are the two least impactful Mets during this resurgence.
Isn't that insane?
I'm not trying to disrespect Pete, because his season is whatever. Like, it's not like it's an awful season. Was he at 18 home runs?
I'm checking out something.
Yeah, he's got 18 homers. I think he's got almost 50 RBI, which, by the way, is below for him. It's below his, if it projected out, 18 homers, I think he's got almost 48, almost 50 RBIs.
Below 800, oh my God.
And if you measure that out over, you know, times two, although it's beyond the halfway point.
For sure.
It's not good enough for his standards.
Well, that's what I'm looking at here. I wanted to get the projected totals here. I knew where he was at ballpark. I didn't know if he had 17 or 18 home runs. So if I told you, because we spent so much time on Soto and the early season stuff with, you know, Judge's struggles, contract year for Torres, and then we get to the Mets stuff. Well, contract season for Pete. And at the end of the season, Pete Alonso would strike out almost 150 times, which is what he's on pace for, have 33 home runs and 88 RBIs.
That's brutal.
That is awful.
That's
88?
That's all-star?
That's what he's
talking about. Not
for
having a feel for anything involved with the Mets. Like, it just shows you this stuff is bullcrap. Pete Alonso might be the most popular Met.
I don't even think he's the most popular Met.
He might, well, nationally.
Do you think he is?
Who is?
Oh, nationally? That's a better question for Met fans. Nationally, it might be Pete because of the home run prowess.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right, so he's a better home run hitter.
But I feel like Lindor, here's where I'm going to push back, I guess, on myself, what I just said. When I watch the Mets nationally, and whenever they're on nationally, I do, unless they're on Apple, I don't think digging for it, or one of the other streamers. I'm talking about ESPN, right, or Fox on Channel 5. The devotion and the depth in which the announcers approach Lindor versus Alonso is startling.
Yeah.
Like, you listen to a Smoltz or somebody else about Lindor, and I know I've been critical about Lindor over the years, but they go so much deeper into what he means to the Mets and his all-around talent. Like, it's when it's Alonso, it's just like, he's a home run guy. That's it. That's really all they say.
Well, they should.
There's nothing else to say.
And now the big thing is Lindor established himself as a star in this game with Cleveland. But now in 4 years with the Mets, he's yet to make an all-star team, a single all-star. He's been snubbed. He is their best player, especially this year. Like, defensively, come on, Francisco Lindor. He steals bases. He hits with power. He drives and runs. He's been clutch as of late. He's an excellent defensive player. He's going to win a gold glove this year. Yeah. And Pete, they're like, come on, Pete doesn't, he hasn't done anything. He's not as impactful as he used to be at all. The fact that they would make him an all-star is ridiculous.
All right, Sal. 888-808-1019. B-team, Sal, on the Fan. Yankee issues. We've got the Mets as well.
Oh, your mic is not working again.
It's not working. There
you go. Yeah.
All right. Jeez. What was that, 10th? That was like the longest time, right?
I was like, seconds? Is his mic on? If it doesn't sound like it is, then Boyle wanted to turn it on. I guess it wasn't working.
The Bull fans, that's a pretty soon start yelling at people. Put my mic
Put
on.
Put my mic on!
Frankie. Who was he yelling at? Was that Ray? No, that was our engineer.
Jim Pierce?
Steve, who was that?
Oh.
Was it Apria?
I don't know.
Yeah, Frankie in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Frank, what's going on? BT and Sal.
Hey, guys, good show. I don't call that often. I just waited maybe about an hour, but it's good because I went through bad service because the parkway was backed up, just like it always is in Connecticut. Anyway, I couldn't agree more. There's a few things. There's one thing that I've never heard anybody say about the start, maybe because of Soto. But they do what they always do. They beat up on the bad teams. The minute they start facing good competition, it's like the playoffs. They stop hitting. And the pitching has gone south because I heard Susan say this, and I've been thinking about this for quite a while. She said the other day, you can't pitch the way you want to pitch when you're afraid to even give up one run because the team's not scoring. And the other thing I was going to tell you was I knew the 14-4, as wonderful as it was for Ben Rice, was the kiss of death. I said, watch them lose 2-1 tomorrow. And it turns out I was generous. They scored nothing.
Yeah, it's typical bully Yankees. I talked about this last week, BT. They're a bully team. Things are going well. Everything's great. Things are going wrong. And, nobody's going to get a hit. Come on. It's tiring. Oh, enough with this. Build a better team. I just can't fault the manager for this particular stuff. In this case, to me, Aaron Boone is the least of their issues.
I thought that for a long time. I no longer think that. I don't think he's as big of an issue as Cashman has been. But the Yankees, listen, hey, this is the unchecked, unfiltered reality of the Yankees. They have now taken on the personality of their manager. And it's too docile in terms of, you know, accepting. I know they don't want to lose. I understand that. They're pros. They have pride. But they've got to show it more. And their manager always, after a game, when they look bad and busted and broken and disoriented and not engaged, he makes excuses. And I don't care what line of business you're in, when you hear your boss offer context repeatedly as to why his subordinates and the employees are not doing their job well, eventually you're going to say, yeah, he's right. We'll be fine. That seeps into the situation. The Yankees culture is not a good one right now. It's just not.
But Boone is as fiery as a manager as there is in the game.
Well, to me, you just call the Yankees bullies, right?
Yeah.
In terms of their offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what you mean. You're not wrong. To me, Aaron Boone is a bit of a bully as a manager. Yeah, yeah. He'll light up some umpire when there's no recourse there. He's going to get the thumb. And I do respect him fighting for his team. I love when he does that. But there is a maddening inconsistency with how he applies that fire to his team. Anybody could bark at balls and strikes. Get on a 24-year-old kid for not running in public once in a while.
But that's just
never.
Not his style. He did bench him.
Well, then his style's not good enough.
But he did bench him.
Yeah, 3 years too late.
Well,
he's already who he is, Glaber.
But it's not just Glaber.
Oh.
You know, Boone's move guys up and down the order. You know, some would say, oh, well, you got to leave Volpe there. You're afraid to mess with him. Hey, he realized, you know what, we got a problem here. I got to move him down. Or moving Verdugo up to the four spot earlier in the year. Like, Boone has done, I feel like he's doing all he can to make this team the best. They just don't have the horses.
That's why I say we're both right. I know that they are short of star power. I mean, to get the Yankees, once you get past 2 and 3, to string together like 3 or 4 or 5 quality at-bats in a high-leverage situation is like trying to fly to the moon. It's impossible. I mean, between expanding the zone, popping up, striking out. I mean, I understand that the days of the Grinders, the Brocious's, the Posadas, not even mention the superstars on the team, even the Posada was one of them. I mean, those guys, you know, the Duncans, the guys who can do what I just said, grind out the at-bats when it's necessary. Those days are long gone. I understand
for
that.
For the Yankees, you're talking about?
Are you talking about the Yankees?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, because did you watch the 9th inning yesterday with the Mets?
Yes, I did.
Chapman?
Iglesias. They did a good job.
Well, it just does play to your point a little bit. Like, Iglesias, not that he's the greatest guy ever, but he went into that at-bat. The guy was like Juan Soto in the at-bat, just grinding it out. He was on a mission, fouling off the fastball, and just locked in. Whereas you don't see that with the Yankees. I thought we were supposed to have the Soto effect up and down that order.
I was just thinking that. The Soto effect was a real thing for a minute, and then it dissipated. It flamed out a bit. I don't know why. I understand baseball is hard, but it shouldn't. Baseball is the hardest sport to me outside of golf. And I think people would even say baseball's harder because, you know, trying to hit a ball that's firing at you and moving, sometimes 20 inches at a blistering rate of speed rather than a stationary ball. I think both are really, really, really hard.
Well, you said sport, though. Golf's not really a sport.
I can't get into that.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying golf's not really. You're not playing against anybody.
No, but it is, though.
Golf is a sport?
Yeah.
You're not playing against anybody.
So when Phil Mickelson came in second place to Tiger Woods, he wasn't playing against Tiger Woods?
Nah, you're playing against yourself. Like, nobody's trying to stop you.
Well, it's actually, in a lot of ways, you're going to pull me into this for a second, aren't you? In a lot of ways, to me, golf is the toughest for this regard because, you know, you talk about literature and you talk about, like, the human condition. It's got everything.
Right.
It's got man versus man because you're battling yourself.
Right.
It's got man versus elements. And it's got man versus self, man versus man versus elements. It's got everything. The wind, the terrain, the undulation.
I agree with man versus self, or whatever, person versus person.
Yep. And that applies to a lot of things,
person
by
versus
the way.
Self, or person versus element,
yep.
Sure, but not person versus person because nobody's trying to stop you. Like Tiger's not sticking, you know, taking his club and trying to knock the ball away from Phil.
You want to create a new sport?
Yeah.
Violent golf?
Yeah. Gawky.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like golf, but hockey. You know what I mean?
Gawky. Yeah, exactly. More exciting than the Yankees these days. 888-0811-9. BT and Sal on the Fan. Get back to these calls coming up.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
High in the air toward deep left field. No doubt about this one. Over the picnic area. It's gone. The sixth home run of the year for David Wright.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. Dude.
What?
I feel very sluggish.
What?
Not physically in terms of, like, energy or stuff. But, you know, you're usually complaining about this. I got to work out. I got to get back
to
the gym.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even saying that because I think I've been pretty steady, whatever, just trying to hang on, not trying to look like Zeus, whatever.
Right.
But, dude, I ate awful. Like, you know what I noticed now? So, there's this amazing baseball facility. I mentioned it down by Great Adventure. There's like 12 fields. It's awesome. It's like Field of Dreams for kids, right?
Okay.
Turfed out, new, really, really good. So we were there Saturday and Sunday, two games Saturday, two games Sunday. The way I ate, and it's about an hour and 15 minutes from our home, sometimes a little more with traffic. So between the Slurpees coming home, because the kids are in the heat all day, and like the bag of combos and the bag, like I feel like I, belly's not feeling good today.
Yeah.
I think it's just sagging over the pant line a little bit, even more than usual.
Today was a rough one. Ugh. I mean, the whole weekend, like putting on the, you know, I'm wearing tank tops or whatever, the enjoying the good food all week long. Yeah, and now it's rude awakening on Monday. Yeah. But you start to clean out a little bit. Tuesday, get back to the gym and the routine.
Just feel a little extra thick around the belly. I like that feeling.
That's a vacation thickness.
Yeah.
Next week, we're both off.
Yes.
Now, will you, like, go to town during vacation as far as eating goes, or you try to maintain a regular week?
I generally eat fairly well.
Okay.
I mean, you just got to remember, like, we haven't taken much time off yet.
Yeah.
So the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that I was off of last week, those were really, I had only had like 4 days prior to that.
Right.
One was a travel day from Easter for my in-laws in Dallas. One was a doctor's appointment. So, I mean, between the barbecue and some beers, I let loose a little bit, please. This week, the week coming up, I think I'll probably get two or three rounds of golf in. Still some baseball going on with the kids, whatever. I will be active.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to make it like a normal routine week, just not outside of work.
You are.
And maybe do something. Thank you.
What is this?
What do we got going on here? These studio lights. Oh, my God. You have no idea what a difference that makes.
What?
I can't believe I'm just figuring this out now. The studio lights in here because of TV. For some reason, SNY puts them on at 10 o'clock, even though we're not on TV.
We don't need it.
Put it on at 2 o'clock, please. I should really talk to somebody over there. But my eyes are, dude, this has just actually changed everything for me. My eyes are so bad with the cataracts. I told you, if I'm going to be 45, I have to have cataracts.
Yeah, you did say
that. Probably
this
summer. So I'm going actually Monday. Ugh. First thing I do, happy vacation. Go to get measured
to get
and all that.
Cataracts look.
Yeah,
at.
Really, to have surgery Jeez. Soon. But I need the glare from the lights. I cannot see.
Want some eye black or
and
something?
I think it's messing with my brain. So I'm putting this hat on. Hoff just gave me, what is this, Eastchester baseball hat.
That's a good looking lid. I'll tell you, Eastchester has great gear.
They do have great gear. He brings in a lot of the stuff. It's nice. Always one of the shirts been laying over there. But this is nice stuff. Anyway, this is a game changer for me.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, thank you. It feels great. It's comfy. This is going to be my new hat in studio. I'm not going to wear it out. But in studio, I think I'm going to have to wear this because it blocks out the lights. Until they shut them off or I get actual sunglasses, this is it. I can't see.
Well, speaking of the lights getting turned off, if the Yankees don't get their heads out of their behinds, the lights are going to be turned off real quick for a bunch of people. The
GM,
the coach, everything that's going on, the manager, the players. I mean, they are a wreck. And the Mets are limping here. Limping's a little strong. Good win yesterday. But still, you know, you get to 500, you lose a couple, you fall. Then you fight back. It's like this baseball season's taken a very different profile where the Mets looked awful and they've stabilized and are competitive. The Yankees look great and they're seemingly imploded. So what happens the next couple of months? I have no idea. What I do know is I can no longer accept what's happening with the Yankees. Something needs to happen. If they don't start playing better, somebody's
got
to go.
You got 3 weeks, 3 weeks roughly to the trade deadline.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about it with the Mets as far as being buyers / sellers. If the Yankees don't win a series again over the next 3 weeks, it's going to be a different conversation for them.
No, it's not. They have to buy no matter what.
Yeah, but how?
Well, that's up to them.
How and why? Because you have to buy, like, you can't buy a whole new team.
No, but you don't have to, because Dominguez, let's at least be fair.
When is he coming back?
August. early. I mean, he's still got, I mean, I know it's not optimal, but you got Dominguez returning eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where Ben Rice goes. I know he's not going to be Reggie too much, but he does give you quality at bats. And again, some of the detail metrics in terms of, like, honestly, he gives you one of the better at bats on the whole team.
Right.
He at least knows what a ball, what a strike. He's got a plan. Leadoff hitter, ridiculous. But so let's just say Dominguez, you know, Stanton. Oh, God, here we go. Stanton will be back.
Yeah, right. Sounds great.
Rizzo, who I have no interest in returning. Yay. I would love to see the Yankees get McMahon, the third baseman for the Rockies. So I know you've seen a lot with against the Mets. He's got some pop. He's a good fielder. He's got a little controllability. What would it take to get that? I don't know. I'll let somebody else figure that out. I'm not really in the weeds on that. But if you had somebody like him at third and Volpe and then... No, I mean, I guess they're not really going to get Peraza a long look, but Peraza or Torres at second, and then I guess Rice or Rizzo, and then you have the outfield with Dominguez and obviously Judge and Soto. All right, but
listen, bullpen rotation.
Well, I was going to say, what happens if the bullpen doesn't? But what happens if Gerrit Cole just isn't that good this year?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know, but we're not there yet.
No,
because
no.
If you allow yourself to latch onto that now, then you would say trade everybody, including Soto. It's hopeless. And I'm not saying that.
Right.
What I'm saying is the manager, this is my thing today, the manager cannot project. I know he doesn't want it, but he cannot project this level of acceptance that a lack of effort and execution is okay. It's not. You're the Yankees. Jarrett's in Woodlawn, New York. Jarrett, what's happening, buddy? Hello, Jarrett.
Hey. Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Got it.
I want to touch base on the Yankee culture. And I think it's a really stark connection, unfortunately, to Gary Sanchez. Because if you remember, I can't blame, you know, Yankee culture in the minor leagues, obviously, for the Torres situation the past 3 years. I think he learned it by coming over here. Because if you remember, his first year and a half out of the Cubs was absolutely amazing. We thought we got the steal of the trade. But as soon as he came over here, started messing around with the young and up-and-coming kids, namely Gary Sanchez, and the way that he hot-dogged everything, I think that shows more so than anything that the Yankee culture in the minor league levels is not teaching these kids the right way to grind and the right way to play the game. My follow-up question to you guys, if you agree with that, is where does Judge, as the captain, lie in making statements and calling out these players that are not producing?
Okay. Hold on, Jared. There's a lot there. So do I agree with you and your assertions? I do. Something's broken at the lower levels, the infrastructure of the Yankees. I think that's undeniable at this point. I agree with that. The role of Judge, now, he handled the Stroman stuff, and he did it publicly, which I respect. The onus should not be on Aaron Judge to be the voice of, you know, not reason, but disdain for the way his teammates play every single time something goes wrong. That should be policed by the manager, hence my points today on the show. I do think that he's a great captain. I've got no problem. I think Aaron Judge is amazing, but I just think it starts from the moment they're drafted. I do. I think it's beyond that.
Then that's an organizational issue.
That's what I'm saying. The infrastructure.
Which again should have been changed. 99.9% of us in this town talked about making a change as far as that goes organizationally 3 years ago. They're talking about a long time ago now. So you're right when you say, like, hey, I've beaten the Cashman horse to a pulp. Like, we've gone over that many times. What am I going to say now that's any different? Like, we all know where we're at with the Yankees. So now you want to say, okay, well, time for change with the manager. For me, it's just not significant enough. Okay, great. Fire Aaron Boone. Then what? You're still going to suck. The team isn't very good. So ultimately, the Yankees are going to do what they... It could get worse this year. Try to buy and then, you know, get yourself in a bad position. You give up prospects. Could it end up being worse moving forward. But I believe ultimately they're on track. And I felt like this for a long time. I got away from it because they were so good this year. You had to buy in. You had to believe in what you were seeing because it felt legit. But ultimately, BT, they're on track to, at the end of the year, have to blow this thing up. And if they don't, there's no point to even talk about it anymore because it's the same thing every single year. It's the same thing with this group, led by Brian Cashman. It's his fault. This team, no good. They're not any good. They're a bad baseball team. Prove us all wrong. You did it for the first month of the season. Prove us all wrong now the rest of the way and in the playoffs. They're not any good.
I don't think they can, because I don't think they've got the capable players to do that. Like, to listen, it's not like the Yankees. Now, the Altuve stuff with the buzzer and the cheating, that's different, okay? But it's not like the Yankees were unlucky against the Astros a couple of years ago. They just got mopped because the Astros were infinitely better. Better approach, better talent, more circular lineup, fewer guaranteed outs. I mean, just better, tougher, more resilient, more athletic, everything better.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's like the Yankees have been hosed here with these horrendous circumstances, bad calls, bad hops. The Yankees have not won since 2009 because they're not built properly enough. That's it. And they have been slow to assimilate to the changes in baseball. And here we are, another summer of seemingly lost baseball.
And even coming into this year, we knew how this team was built. Cashman, remember, he got perturbed at the owners' meetings, whatever, the GM meetings, and got testy with the media when they were questioning him. He was basically like, look, I believe in this team. I believe we're better than what we were. We just got unlucky with injury.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing it again. The same guys. Rizzo, LeMahieu, Stanton, Dominguez. All these guys were also hurt last year, underperforming last year. They brought them all back. It's all the same thing. He thought Juan Soto and Verdugo were going to fix it all. Wrong. Or Stroman's going to fix the rotation. Rodon. Wrong. Who brought Rodon in here? Like, it's the same thing over and over and over again.
Imagine having this payroll and not having a bench.
I mean, come on. All. They got the guy Jones and we say he's not any good. They don't even use him.
I know.
What are you doing with the roster spot? I'm not saying he's good or not, but if he's...
Yeah, we're just assuming he's not good because nobody else that they bring up is good.
You can't find a guy who can contribute a little more than he can. How many games have you played? How many at-bats do you have? Like, find somebody that could be more useful. Get rid of Trent Grisham because he's worthless. Trying to hear about the metrics and the defense from Grisham. I watch him talk about lollygagging. Yeah. The way he goes back on balls, just like, okay.
He's under contract for next season,
too. He stinks. He can't even defend. At least if we're a great defensive player, you could be like, all right, well, fine, you can live with that. He doesn't even try in the outfield.
I think that was, you know, the isolated. It looked horrible.
But even going back,
he is a really good center fielder.
I'm talking about the ones where he was going back on him, like, to try to rob a home run. Like, he just looks lost out there.
Well, Bodie talked about that. He's always said he's been a little casual, but he is one of the best center fielders defensively in baseball. But it always looks worse when you're losing guys who are, you know, maybe have a lower motor and don't emit that ferocity. It's fine, like Cano and Torres, when things are going well, and when they don't, we got a problem. The problem is, or the real problem is, that it's been going poorly for so long. Huh. That's the real issue. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Coming up, we'll hit you with the top story, The Crown on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.